second of our study sessions this morning, and we have Arya Jaya talking about that area of Bhante's contact with his own teachers and the practices that he received from his teachers. So over to Arya Jaya.
Okay, so I'm kind of launching off from Sadaloka's talk yesterday, and I loved how he described going for refuge as irrational, compelling, and a deep need. Like, I was like, yes! And then he said that when witnessed, it's the ritual seal on the momentum and direction of our lives. And that just kind of was very, very evocative. It's the ritual seal on the direction and momentum of our lives. So if you didn't catch that yesterday, you can catch that now. And it just made me think, I thought, let's just go back into the kuti where each of us got ordained. You might just want to close your eyes for a moment, but just remember what the room was like. Maybe it wasn't a room. Maybe it was a tent. Just remember what it was like sitting in that space, across perhaps from your preceptor. So there was your preceptor. And within that space, they gave you your name. They gave you a mantra. They gave you the sadhana visualization practice. And you recited the 10 precepts. It looks like most people can remember that time, and hopefully just maybe contact how you felt in that space, in that kuti, at that moment. And that just got me, you can kind of come back now, come back from wherever you are, Guyaloka. Il convento. I thought Bhante did the same thing. He sat across from a teacher who gave him a practice. And I'd never quite thought of it like that before, even though I can read the, you know, his accounts of receiving the teachings, the sadhanas that he received. I hadn't really thought about it like that before. So I'm just going to read firstly his account of receiving his first initiation from Chetul Rinpoche of Green Tara. So you can imagine Bhante sitting across from Chetul Sangjay Dorje. So by this time, I had developed considerable confidence in the Rinpoche. And I therefore asked him to tell me who my yidam or tutelary deity was. Far from showing surprise at my request, he seemed quite pleased, and after a moment of inner recollection, told me that my yidam was Dolma Jungo, or Green Tara, the female bodhisattva of fearlessness and spontaneous helpfulness, adding that Tara had been the tutelary deity of many of the great pandits of India and Tibet. He then proceeded to bestow on me the appropriate initiation, first giving me the 10-syllable mantra, which he pronounced very forcefully, after which he explained the sadhana, or spiritual practice, which would enable me to identify myself with Green Tara and call down the blessings of the bodhisattvas on myself and all sentient beings. The latter he did at some length, so that it was mid-afternoon when I finally bade Chatral Rinpoche a grateful farewell, having spent 4 hours in his company. My mood was one of considerable elation. And I hope that's how you all felt as you walked away from your kuti. I certainly did. Felt like something had changed significantly forever, even though the postman had arrived in the middle of my ordination, but that's another story. Bhante then faithfully practiced that sadhana for 7 years. So he kind of entered into that relationship with Green Tara, and he was faithful to it. And even though probably didn't practice it as faithfully after those 7 years, remained, that connection remained with Green Tara all his life. And we all know that Bhante received many initiations from all of his teachers, his Tibetan teachers. He received something from all seven of them, including the Bodhisattva ordination from Dado Rinpoche and the six element practice from Yogi Chen. So each of his teachers he received something from, which is why they're there on our refuge tree. And in Precious Teachers, Bhante talks about reading Thomas Merton's Seeds of Contemplation. And it's within that he picks up on this idea that according the disciple should totally surrender to the will of the spiritual superior. And we know that through this, he decided to take that attitude towards Jagdish Kashyap and just obey whatever his teacher asked him to do, when we know that that's how he ended up in Kalimpong, staying there for the good of Buddhism. So, and through that, through staying in Kalimpong, he had the opportunity to meet the rest of his teachers, the other seven teachers who were in the Tibetan tradition mainly. And I think that resulted in the flavours of our Tri Ratna Buddhist order. I think we'd probably all agree with that. Otherwise, we probably might just be a Theravadan order, or perhaps we probably wouldn't exist at all, I would probably say. So I think it's significant for our order that Bhante started kind of like thinking in this way. And the main reason he started thinking in this way, because he had this question, he had a conundrum. Even though he was practicing already Anapanasati, he had this problem of going beyond the ego. And it had been something that he'd been thinking about for about 7 or 8 years before he asked Chatral Rinpoche to tell him who his Yidam was. So it wasn't in an idle moment. He didn't go to a seminar by the Dalai Lama and take a, you know, kind of an initiation, you know, on the day. It's something he'd been really thinking about for many, many years. So I think we can see that it's was a real koan of his spiritual practice, how to go beyond the ego. And obviously he felt that something more was needed than his Anapanasati practice. Something much more was needed in that. And somehow this Yidam could be the answer. So I'm going to read another quote for you, just because he says it much better than I could. And this quote in particular will be on the sheet that you'll have for your study group. One could also get beyond the ego by opening oneself to the transforming influence of one or other of the transcendental beings who, according to the Buddhism of Tibet and that of China and Japan, were the different, infinitely various aspects of the Buddha's Dhammakaya, or body of truth. That Green Tara, the female bodhisattva of fearlessness and spontaneous helpfulness, was my tutelary deity meant that she was a transcendental counterpart of my own mundane nature. In other words, I had an affinity with Green Tara, and it was on account of that affinity that I could, by devotion to her, by becoming her, most readily gain access to the transcendental realm of which she belonged. So I think, you know, Bhante says quite clearly what he discovered in the Yidam, that he had access to the transcendental in a way that perhaps he didn't through his Anapanasati practice. And he also, not only did he have a glimpse of the transcendental, there was this sense of realizing the affinity with the transcendental. Or, I mean, I think we do use the word resonance quite often, that we resonate with the transcendental through the Yidam, through the tutelary deity. And in that way, we can become more aligned with reality. I think it's as simple as that. I don't think I'm going to say much more about that. You know, it's an opportunity to become more aligned, to attune to the Dharmakaya. Prakasha just recently gave some talks on the UK and Ireland convention, and he was mentioning the Trikaya doctrine. And I've always loved this sense of the Buddhism Bodhisattvas, the Sambhogakaya, as that mediating space between the Nimanakaya and the Dharmakaya, that there's this relationship that we have that helps us and takes us towards the truth. I don't know why, but there's something very exciting about me for me in that. I don't think it's just that I'm an ex-Catholic. in that kind of like it's kind of, you know, got a Trinity kind of aspect to it, but it's just yeah exactly. So yes, you know, that's just very significant, and has been a significant realization for Bhante as well. And I think that kind of also then can orient us to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and the Bodhisattva ideal. So aligning ourselves with the qualities of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, that means that we tap into the altruistic dimension of things. I think in one of the readings I've just done, Bhante talks about he's not just doing the practice for himself, but for all beings. So within most sadhanas, I think, within many sadhanas, that aspect is very fully there. I know in the Vajrasattva sadhana, at the end, you imagine all beings, and all beings have Vajrasattva above them. So all beings have the potential of Vajrasattva. You know, I'm not just doing it for myself. I'm seeing the potential for all beings. And as we know, the Bodhisattva ideal is a very, very big part of our community in tapping into that altruistic dimension. I'll just tell you about another story that Bhante relates about Jagdish Kashyap, who was invited to a temple. I won't go into all the details, but let's have a look. He was invited to Penang by a group of Chinese Buddhists, and he said they were excellent hosts, and they were showing him around their temples, and there were many images of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So being a Theravadin, Kashyapji related, he had saluted the Buddhas, but he had not saluted the Bodhisattvas. So the following day, he was served a lunch consisting of rice, only rice, which had surprised him a little. And this happened for a few more days. Eventually, without actually complaining, he drew his host's attention to the fact, saying, "No doubt rice is the main thing, but the vegetables are also necessary." "Yes," agreed his hosts, "that is very true. Similarly, the Buddha is the main thing, but the Bodhisattvas are also necessary." I hadn't clocked that before, but so I was reading that today. So the Bodhisattvas are necessary. So I think it has, you know, it flavours our whole order that we have this, and it's a very significant part of our going for refuge, a significant part of our ordination, that we have this aspect of spiritual rebirth. You know, the Bodhisattvas show us the way, show us where we're going, give us those glimpses and guide us along the way. And I think Bhante says through the initiations that he had with his teachers in Kalimpong, he proceeded from the Theravada to the Mahayana and perhaps the Vajrayana. And of course that's given this broad kind of rich Buddhism for us to draw on in our tradition. Yeah, he also kind of learnt at that time from those teachers kind of a sense of ecumenicalism, as some of his main teachers were getting together to try and find unity with the different Buddhist sects at that time. So these things, I think, had a great influence on Bante, and therefore kind of on how he created the order and what we have taken on. So with Bante's death, of course, you know, we're all thinking about these things a lot more, and perhaps his teachers start to take on a lot more significance, because they are our lineage. I don't know, I do think about that, but I don't know if I really think about that. And I noticed that I was hearing stories more towards Bante's death. I was hearing more stories of Bante recalling his teachers to others. I don't know if I'll get this correct, but Sabhadramati may know. Dhammadina was talking with Bante and thanking him for her sadhana, which I think was Grintara. Yeah, and he said, "Don't thank me, you know, kind of remember it's come from Chetul Rinpoche." You know, so just kind of really reminding her and us of that lineage. And I don't think about that. I think it was Dujom Rinpoche that gave the Vajrasattva sadhana. See, I don't even know. You know, it's not kind of in my mind, but that's a connection and a relationship I could develop more fully, so that sense of lineage just doesn't stop at Bante. It kind of goes back. So there is that sense of the flame being passed on. And so Bante had these relationships with his teachers in Kalimpong. And they weren't just teacher-student relationships. They were friendships. They were real relationships. I think especially with Dado Rinpoche, Khatchu Rinpoche, and Yogi Chen in particular, who he spent a lot of time with. They were probably learning from each other in a way. And Dado Rinpoche certainly talks about that. I think that's this reading here. Before meeting Sangharachita, Dado Rinpoche had been accustomed to teaching in the classical style, seated on a throne while his disciples sat below. Traditionally, the Lama is regarded at such times as the very Buddha himself, and it must be difficult to feel anything for him other than profound awe. While teacher-disciple bonds were usually very strong, Rinpoche commented that it was rare for a Lama to develop a close friendship with a pupil. Thus it came as a revelation when he realized that something remarkable had developed between himself and Sangharachita. They had become intimate friends. So something so beautiful about that. And in a previous quote from there, Dado says he knew that Bante was quite a special person. When they talked Dharma, he understood the Dharma. So they had the opportunity to meet and communicate, perhaps on a very different level to how he met other people. So he recognised that remarkable quality of Sangharachita, and then he could speak to it. And it reminds me of the quote that we read at the beginning in the dedication ceremony, that, you know, individual to individual communication brings something more out of us. And in a way, that's what Kalyana Mitrata is. We kind of, through Kalyana Mitrata, through our friendship, through our communication with one another, what makes it spiritual friendship is that we keep reminding each other of our spiritual goals and our spiritual ideals. You know, kind of, that's what makes it spiritual friendship. We point each other towards the transcendental, towards the Dhammakaya, towards the highest in us, our highest aspirations. And that's what kind of makes it beautiful. Kalyana is beautiful, ethical, the good. Yeah, it's beautiful because it's showing us reality. And we're kind of doing that side by side, whether in a, you know, more peer friendship or within a horizontal relationship. We're pointing each other in that direction. And I think I'm not going to say much more about that. I'm not going to go into all the different relationships that Bante had with those teachers. I think we probably know all of that, you know, or have a sense of it. And perhaps with Bante's death, we might want to revisit some of those relationships and perhaps redevelop them ourselves anew. But I was really, I think I'm just really left with Paramartha sitting here the other night, talking about his friendship with Bhante, and just having a real sense of a living teacher-disciple, but also Kalyanamitra relationship. That just shone through so strongly for me. And maybe there's something about this Bhante in this period in Kalimpong where he's receiving teachings, he's wanting to go beyond the ego, he's receiving teachings from teachers, he's creating friendships with those teachers. And there's something about going beyond the ego, committing deeper to the Dharma life, and our glimpses of the transcendental that need to be kind of held in a framework of Kalyanamitrata. I think he's always had the need for friendship. Bhante always had the need for friendship, but perhaps that time kind of formulated it even more. I was just thinking it as I was trying to put my thoughts together this morning, something about those two things kind of coming together. And our ordinations happen in the context of spiritual friendship. It's because we resonate with one another in our going for refuge. That's when we can recognize each other's going for refuge. So that resonance is really important. And I think Bhante, that's why he ordained the first people. He says because he felt a resonance with their going for refuge. So he ordained some people and started this order. I mean, needless to say, I think Paramartha brought out that Bhante has incredible capacity for friendship. And that seems to be what he's done all his life, is befriend people, teach them the Dharma, point them towards the Dharma, their own potential in that, and guide them along the way. So I feel very personally fortunate that I've had the chance to be part of that, to be part of that lineage. And of course, I feel a great responsibility to want to carry that on. And maybe that's all I've got to say. I think I'll just stop there. Yeah.